Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I just want to thank each and every one of you for all the prayers that you have been sending on the website and the contacts that you have made. And I'd also ask you to pray for my dear, dear friend, Dr. Herman, who's diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he's the one actually who sponsors these programs. He and his wife Barbara sponsor these programs, and I'd ask that you just pray for him. If you'd like to help sponsor the Seed of Faith, you can go to the Seed Christian Fellowship at our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and help support this ministry here on the radio. We're going to begin with a series called God is with Us. And we're going to look at this because just if you're part of a church calendar, last week was Christ the King Sunday. So today we begin on the church calendar the season called Advent. Advent is a 4-week time of preparation prior to Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, and I know you probably don't want to hear it, but is your home ready for Christmas? Is the tree up? Is it decorated? Have you hung the lights? Are you decorated to the nines? Is your shopping done? How about your holiday baking? Do you have plans for what you're doing on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? I spent the past week putting up our tree, hanging the lights on the house, hanging the stockings for all of our 12 grandchildren, and figuring out where the crèche would go in the yard. The outside and the inside of our home is ready, but what about the outside and the inside of me? What about the outside and the inside of you? Am I preparing more? I thought about this as I was, you know, decorating. Am I preparing more for my home for Christmas than myself? The so what really comes early today. Here it is. How's your heart? Now, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to know your medical term of your heart, but how's your heart? Is it prepared for Christmas? Today, we're going to take a look at preparing our hearts for Christmas through the eyes of Joseph, a young man whose dreams, thoughts, plans were drastically altered by God. Joseph really had his life all planned out. He was going to marry his bride, Mary. He was going to raise a family. He was going to build a great carpentry business, take a yearly vacation to Jerusalem, grow old, retire, and enjoy the grandchildren. So my so what question is, what happens when God changes Joseph's well-laid plans and dreams? Better yet, what happens when God changes your plans? In fact, maybe there's someone listening right now. In fact, I would say there is someone listening that God has changed your plans. Maybe your hopes have been dashed. Before we hear God's word for us today, let us pray. May God's word be alive and redemptive right here, right now. May God's living word shape us and mold us and fashion us into the children of God that we are called to be. God, help us this week to learn from Joseph, whose life you drastically changed, you drastically altered. Help us to trust what you're doing in our lives. Amen. I have two passages, one from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, and then we're going to turn to the New Testament, Matthew 1, 18 to 25. So if you have your Bibles, Isaiah 7, 10 through 14, and Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we would gladly send you a Bible. We had some people in our church buy boxes of Bibles, and we've been giving them out. I would gladly send you a Bible for Christmas. Isaiah 7, 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and she shall bear a son, and she shall call him Emmanuel." Then in Matthew 1, 18 to 25, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This passage is rich with deep theological themes: the virgin birth, the name of the Messiah, the fulfillment of the promise from the prophet Isaiah. We could spend weeks looking at the significance of the virgin birth and why it's important to understand that Christ is fully divine and fully human. The author of this gospel book is Matthew, one of Jesus' own disciples, called from his tax collector booth. You could say Matthew's life was drastically changed or altered too. Yeah, but we're going to look at Joseph, but the writer of this gospel's life was drastically changed when, and we've just finished this series on Follow Me, when Jesus walks by Matthew's tax collector booth, and you know what he says to Matthew? "Follow me." And when he started following Jesus, his life was changed. Now he's going to write and tell us a story of another man's life who was changed. Our thoughts are then turned now to how the Holy Spirit implants the seed of the Son of God in Mary's virgin womb. Folks, these are deep theological discussions all around the world. And as I've prayed about the message for this week, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to look at the promise found in the name Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. There was a family with a nativity set, and each Christmas season they would set that nativity set up beneath the Christmas tree, which included nativity was the obvious cast of characters. There was the baby Jesus in the crash. There was Mary. There were assorted animals, donkeys, cows, chickens arranged around. And then, of course, there were the three wise men. You could tell who the wise men were because they were carrying gifts and wore crowns. There were shepherds of various ages and sizes, some of them older and some of them younger. But just as it is with some nativity sets, there were some extra figures, and no one knew exactly the identity of these extra figures. This particular family of children played a great game every Christmas: which one is Joseph? Isn't that an interesting thought? Which one is Joseph? Not a lot is said about Joseph. Which one is Joseph? Some of them said it was the old man leaning on his staff. The more romantic souls in the family said Mary wouldn't want a crotchety old man like that. So there, Joseph was a young shepherd with broad shoulders, and they would debate each year which character Joseph was. In reality, Joseph truly is the forgotten man of Christmas. Joseph is the forgotten man of Christmas. He is silent. Surprisingly, Joseph doesn't say a word in Scripture. Did you know that? There's not a Scripture passage quoted that this is what Joseph said. He is like an extra in one of the movie sets here in Los Angeles. He's like an extra, a kind of a minor character that gets a credit at the end of the movie in the cast of characters. But no one has ever considered him central or significant to the story of Christmas. Joseph says nothing. He is silent, but he's obedient. Maybe that's a question for us. Maybe God's asking us to be silent. Maybe God, I know God's always asking us to be obedient. In the entire Bible, we are told very little about Joseph, the husband of Mary. All that is said about him can be summed up in a few words. Joseph was a righteous man, a son of David, from the tribe of Judah. Joseph lived in Nazareth. He was a carpenter, like his father. Have you ever really thought about Joseph? Let's enter into the story. Joseph had just been promised his bride. Joseph and his father had gone to the home of Mary's father, and they had negotiated the bride price. In the Jewish culture, the father of the groom and the father of the bride negotiated the bride price, and they would share a cup. And after they negotiated the bride price, they would share the cup of wine. And at that time, the price for a bride was substantial. It was like the cost of a new home. This dowry or the bride price was equivalent to the price of a new home. In fact, here's how the negotiation worked. After the negotiation was complete, the groom-to-be would go back to his father's house and build a room on to his father's house, an add-on to the dad's ranch. A separate home, but an extension of the already existing home. Does that sound familiar? In the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the bridegroom, and we are the church, and mentioned as the bride of Christ. In John 14, Jesus tells his disciples that he must go to the Father's house and build a place for us, because in his Father's house are many rooms. Well, back to Joseph. What was going on in his mind? He was at his father's house preparing a place for his lovely bride. He was working, planning, dreaming about his future and the life he and Mary would have together. What were his hopes and dreams? What was he thinking about? Was he thinking about how many children they would have? Would they be all boys, or would he have a few girls, or would they be all girls and a few boys? Was he hoping to build up his father's business so that he could have maybe some extra camels or lots of sheep? Was Joseph dreaming of taking annual vacations to the Sea of Galilee? Was he hoping and dreaming of taking the family down to Jerusalem for the yearly festivals? Joseph was a pretty happy man at this point in his life. He was going to be married, and his life was looking good. And then one day, it all came crashing down. Mary was pregnant. How could this be? What would people think? What would people say? His beautiful bride-to-be was pregnant. Mary told him about her encounter with the angel Gabriel and what the angel said to Mary. Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you, Mary. Don't be afraid. You're going to be with a child. Name him Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Nothing is impossible for God, Mary. Can you just enter into the story. Mary comes over to Joseph's house and says all this. What would you do if your bride-to-be came and told you she was pregnant, and that God told her that he was conceiving a child in her womb? Does Joseph believe Mary? No. His dreams are shattered. His hopes are dashed. Maybe that's where we're at today. Maybe I believe there are people right now in this Advent season. Advent means preparation. We're preparing for the Advent, the coming of the Christ. I believe there's people listening right now where your hopes have been shattered, your dreams crushed. I want to give you hope. That's Joseph has a song of hope. And this Advent, week one, is God is with us. I want you to know that you're not alone, that you're not forsaken, that God is with you. So Mary comes over and tells Joseph she's pregnant. His dreams are shattered. His hopes are dashed. What happens next in the story? The word says that Joseph was a righteous man. Instead of making Mary's pregnancy public, Joseph decides to, quote unquote, dismiss her. The Greek word Matthew uses is apaluo. It means to set aside, put away, or dismiss. It is a common word used in their culture for divorce. He's going to divorce her. He's going to set her aside. Joseph did not want to disgrace Mary. She could be stoned for turning up pregnant and not married. Joseph loved her deeply, but he did not believe Mary. So he decided to set her aside, put her away, and dismiss her. Dreams shattered. So what? How many of us feel like Joseph? Have your dreams been shattered? Maybe you have lost your dream home. Maybe you can't get ahead. Maybe you can't stay ahead. Maybe your health has faltered, or your health is an area of concern right now. Maybe you've been dealing with depression or an anxiety attack. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that has been broken and you wonder if it'll ever be repaired. Maybe your dream job has been eliminated and you're looking for employment. We are living in a time when dreams are being shattered right and left. And it's not your turn, and maybe it is your turn on the chopping block. Maybe it's a close relative. Maybe it's a spouse. But you know what it's like to have your dreams shattered or smashed against the rock cliffs of the storms of life. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord God, I know there's someone listening right now where their dreams have been shattered against the storms of life. And I pray that you would enter into their lives today, that you would whisper in their ear, I know you. I have not forgotten you. I love you. I love you enough to die for you, to give you life. Look to me for your hope in this season of shattered dreams. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, back to our story. Joseph does what all good, broken-hearted people do. He goes to bed. And not what we do when we get our dream shattered, when we get depressed. I can just imagine Joseph going to bed and pulling the covers over his head. He goes to bed. That's nothing good. I mean, it's nothing but a good old-fashioned hibernation sleep can help. Pull up the covers, hit the hay, lights out, take the NyQuil, forget about the world. Sleep it away. We've all been there. Crawl into bed and pull over the covers. Forget about life. It's just a little while. Joseph finally gets into his REM sleep, and then an angel shows up in his dream. And the angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. What powerful words. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to hear these words. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's what the angel said to Joseph. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what it had been spoken through the Lord, the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In the length of that dream, God reshapes Joseph's life. Drastically different from plan A is plan B for the baby. Let's notice the pattern. God sent an angel to Joseph. in a dream and took those smashed and shattered dreams and reshaped them, something good from something seemingly bad. Can you imagine what happened when Joseph woke up? Joseph heard from the Lord through an angel in a dream. Did you notice that what Joseph did in verse 24? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He had no union with her until she gave birth to the son, and Jesus was born, and they named him Jesus. When Joseph woke up from his pull up the covers over the head and sleep the world away dream, he got up and he did exactly, let me say it again, exactly what the angel told him to do. He didn't talk it over with his dad. He didn't ask his best friends for advice. He didn't go to work and take a poll of all of his coworkers what he should do. He went and he took Mary as his wife. Remember the home he was building? He went and got Mary and brought her home to live with him. He didn't care what others would say when they found out she was pregnant. Joseph had been visited by an angel in a dream. Mary, I love you. Come home with me. Be my wife. I get it. An angel had visited me too. We're naming our son Joseph or Jesus. And just like that, Joseph was given a new dream and a new promise. And the baby is with the Holy Spirit, and they shall name him Jesus. And they'll call him Emmanuel. God is with us. As soon as Joseph woke up from his dream, he was off and running. Think about obedience. I always say there's three kinds of obedience: disobedience, delayed obedience, and instant obedience. Three kinds of obedience: disobedience, delayed obedience, and instant obedience. Talk about instant obedience, from shattered dreams to dreams fulfilled. Not like Joseph thought, not like he planned, but better than he could ask or imagine. How about us? How does Joseph teach us to prepare our hearts for Christmas? The so what? The mission. God is with us. So what? Do we really believe this good news, Emmanuel? God is with us, that we find right here in Matthew 1. Earlier in this message, I asked you, how is your heart? Are you prepared for Christmas? Maybe you're not there yet. Are you still in the Christmas is so much work phase? Are you worrying about the bills of Christmas, let alone the bills of this month? Are you playing the part of Scrooge instead of Joseph? Tune into this story. Joseph was determined to put Mary away. Talk about a Scrooge. He pulled up the covers. When I wake up, this nightmare will be over. But he didn't. He did exactly what God had asked him to do. He did exactly. The so what for us today is the exact same thing. So what? Dave, I put my name in there. It's going to be okay. I know that this wasn't what you had planned. Put your name in this. Dave, Bill, Tom, Mary, Jane. Put your name in there. Joseph, this is not what you planned. I know this wasn't what you planned. I know you don't have a clue what is happening. But I'm doing something new in you, and it's called God with us, Emmanuel. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks that you're a dream shaper, even when dreams are shattered. And we ask that we would see and we would hear that God is with us, Emmanuel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. Know that God is with you, Emmanuel. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.